Hey guys, we just want to start tonight's podcast with kind of a, well, it's kind of an important message for us, but to everyone watching as well. An important thing to remember is that emotions are okay. And even though sometimes we seem a little abrasive or a little, you know, whatever, we do embrace our emotions, and it is okay to cry and let those things go sometimes. So, well, for example, today I was feeling emotional about something and I kind of felt like crying. So if it's okay, is this camera on right now? I just want to record proof that I cried today.
Good for you.
Beautiful. Right?
Yes, beautiful. Okay. I'm
good on you.
I'm proud of you, dude.
It takes a strong man to shed a tear, Rocco, and I think you just proved that you're the strongest of them all.
Yeah, it's just important to get that out there. I am a digital influencer, and so I kind of just want to make sure
people
know it's okay.
You're a sadness influencer, too.
Thank you.
I might cry now.
Let's see. Well, can we record that? That's good. That's good material.
Are the tears on camera?
Wait.
Yeah, there's moisture there. Yeah, we got. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's wet. It's
nice.
Wet.
Garrett, you want to cry?
Let me just get a little flustered here.
Oh, do it. Do it. Think of something horrific. Oh, dude.
Oh no.
Dude, he's crying.
Oh no.
That's great.
What
footage.
Do you?
Fuck.
What?
Garrett, you look so sad.
I am emotional.
What makes you cry? What do you think about when you cry?
I just think about I think about animals and how I hold them in a higher regard than human lives.
Good, because you don't want to know what a human. You see a human walking down the street, you don't know what he did and what kind of bad shit he got into. That's why I like dogs more. Sorry.
Never gonna cheat on me. It's never gonna lie to me. Always be home wagging a tail.
I had a dog cheat on me once.
Wait, no, don't, please don't cut to that. I think Derek's going to cry.
Well, I'm over it now.
Oh, you, okay.
Dog had sex with another guy.
I just want to make sure.
And relationship never recovered after that.
Sorry, bro.
I bet not.
Okay, Mariel, go ahead and just cry. Let it out. Oh no, dude, she's so upset, dude. Oh.
I'm itchy.
Wow.
Oh, itchy. Man.
That can be so sad.
The tears made you itch.
No,
when they dry in your face. Terrible
feeling. You know that term, ugly crier?
Yeah.
Mary, you're not an ugly crier. That was a good performance.
I think that was a good performance. Yeah. Maybe next time, could you kind of like mess up your hair and just like make your eyes look all fucked up? Next time. Work on it for next time.
Come back with that.
Anyway, good night, everybody. Oh, sorry. Theme song.
I'm a lonely horse, got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides the lonely horseman. Got my gun at my side, I'm just trying to be a lonely horseman.
Okay, can we, Sean, when you edit this on Tuesday, we're just going to kind of just sit still for probably five, six, 8 minutes, and Sean's going to put up the image of Kevin Smith, who recently cried, and we're just going to let that sink for just a little, just a, you know, let it go. We don't have to sit here that long in editing.
Right.
Maybe just
he'll
cut
be here.
To it and make it, give it, devote some time to it.
Yeah.
Okay, but in the middle of that, I think you should insert the Momo challenge as well.
Yeah, do
that's
that.
Hot, dude.
Put in Freaky Momo and challenge our viewers to do some bad stuff.
Dude. Yeah.
You guys.
Did you talk to your kids
about
it?
Did you guys survive the Momo challenge?
Every person who told me about it is an old fuck who is like, have you warned your kids about this Momo challenge? And it's like, well, it's apparently some challenge, and the old people say, oh, the kids do these challenges and it ramps up until eventually they kill themselves. And that's how you win the Momo challenge, is you kill yourself. Okay. I've only heard this from old people who say, watch out. So, like, no kids are talking
about
this.
Only people that were fooled.
Let's rewind a little bit.
Sure.
Earlier this year was the Bird Box challenge where kids, you know, Bird Box was on Netflix.
Yeah, the Sandra Bullock movie.
What was the point of Bird Box? You had to stay blindfolded?
You can't see shit. I don't know.
If you see shit, bad shit happens. Yeah. Sounds like a great film. I didn't see it because I didn't want bad stuff to happen to me. But kids were doing the Bird Box challenge where they were like driving cars with blindfolds on and doing stupid shit. And apparently that was real. I think the Momo challenge was spurred from that.
Yeah,
the Momo urban legend.
I just think that now these fucking baby boomers are hearing about it. They heard about it on their news shows or whatever, and now they're spreading the word. They're the one who's talking about it. No one's talking about you. You started this.
They heard about it on AM radio.
Yeah. I got to save my kids from you.
Speaking of things that are BS.
Yeah.
I'm going to just, you know, get this out of the way. All obligations out of the way.
Lay it on the people.
This week was National Women's Day.
Yeah.
We were told by our ad network we had to feature a woman on the podcast. So there she is. This fulfills our obligation. I don't know why, you know, because I don't know why there isn't an International Men's Day.
There is.
Told me.
It's in November.
Well,
I just told you.
It's in Movember.
It should be sooner.
Can't argue with that.
You know. So anyway, just want to get that out.
Can
now
we go back to the Kevin Smith thing real quick? Because I was thinking about this a lot. And the fact that he cried, totally cool. I get that. Hey, we all feel emotional sometimes. And I get why he cried. That's a very sweet thing that happened.
Don't want to spoil. So basically, Captain Marvel, he saw it. There's a Stan Lee cameo in it that should come as no surprise to anybody. And it made him emotional.
Surprise,
you know, Stan Lee's gone.
Dude's dead.
Okay. Yeah. So it was emotional for him. Totally.
And I get the reasons why. Totally get it. I totally get it.
No one's posting the context, though, because it's kind of a spoiler.
Right.
And I still, until today, couldn't find out why he posted that photo other than he saw the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Now, and once I found it out, it was like, oh, that would make me emotional.
Would make me emotional. And if someone, if he would have said, hey, I saw the cameo and I teared up, I actually cried, beautiful, thank you, whatever.
Yeah.
Fine. If someone had posted a picture that they took of Kevin Smith crying and he didn't know about it and he posted, hey, this someone captured the moment he's seen the whatever.
Yeah.
Fine. But don't take a selfie of yourself crying. That looks so stupid.
Like, well,
it's the worst look.
Even
what you guys were just doing with your fake crying thing, you didn't film that. And that's a notch above what he – it's so Kevin fucking Smith. Lame. It's so fucking lame to cry and go,
it's just a scary photo.
Tears, wait. One second. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
He's in a bathrobe, too. Like, did he go home and take a shower and then take that photo?
It looks like – I have no problem with him crying. It looks like he made himself more fucked up. Who cries so hard your hair stands up on end?
That's like Super Saiyan crying.
Yeah,
you're like, exactly. I'm so fucking sad. Yeah. Yes, and Kakarot, think of dead puppies. Okay, I'm really sad now. I'm really sad. I'm going to go
People
home.
Keep saying that I have cried. Yeah, I fucking know. What the fuck? Did you hear what I was saying? you're allowed to cry.
No one is dissing crying.
You can cry. Don't take a selfie of yourself crying because that's fucking stupid. Anyone can cry. Jesus. Fuck, people. Spell it out for you.
They'll get it.
Oh, man. What?
Actually, you know, the Mega 64 challenge. I dare you to take a picture of yourself crying.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Let's lean into it all the way.
Yeah.
Take a picture of yourself crying. I think I do have a picture of me crying somewhere.
Did you take it?
I don't think I took
it.
If
you didn't take it, it's fine.
Might have, though, because something made me cry, and I think someone was like, bullshit. You watched that thing and it made you cry, and I think I did, but I didn't send it. Like, I felt like weird about it, so I didn't do it. I think I want to say I have that somewhere.
That's brave of you to admit, because I just seriously lost some respect.
No.
Think there's
that's
ever,
why I didn't send it.
Honestly, I don't think there's ever a good reason to photograph yourself crying.
Yeah.
Because at that point, are you even sad anymore?
Yeah,
if
you're conscious of the emotion.
For attention.
I feel like when you cry, you're overcome with emotion and you start crying because you're so, you know. It's so heavy. But then you think like, all right, now let me get the camera out.
Yeah, it's weird. What does everyone out there think? You know, let us know. Are we being assholes about this? Or you think, no, it is weird. You know, let us know.
Like, imagine.
Podcast at mega64.com. Email us.
Your girlfriend or Mariel, your boyfriend, whatever, breaks up with you and you're so sad you start crying. Then you take a photograph of yourself crying.
Right.
What if it's to send it to the person who made you cry?
Exactly. And then you send it to that person. Like, what's the point of that?
As the if you on the receiving end of that, you'd be like, Okay, what the fuck? Okay,
I feel have you ever you sent me a picture of you crying. No, I think I won.
You have?
Oh yeah, I've got a picture of a girl crying.
How did it make you feel?
Made me feel bad because she was telling me you're the reason I'm crying.
But she took the picture. That's, oh, interesting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
back in the day,
people are saying I'm an asshole. Why? I just think that's fucking lame. Sorry.
I would be stoked if it was Kevin Smith. I'm crying, and here's my new movie instead of promoting another Marvel or Star Wars movie. Because I think, I don't know if this is it, but I just miss when Kevin Smith made great movies like 15 years
ago.
He's
working on one right now.
So he's working on James and Silent Bob, but like, it was, yeah.
That's manipulative. She wanted to make you feel bad because she felt bad. She was trying to manipulate your mind and manipulate your feelings.
That's messed up.
And I think that's what Kevin Smith was trying to do too. He's trying to manipulate us all so we feel sorry for his ass.
You know what?
Skinny now. You're rich as hell. I ain't feeling sorry for you, Kevin Smith.
He's trying to make sure
perk up.
The butts get in the seats for that Captain Marvel film.
Hey, you know what?
They've got him. They've got a contract on him probably. And he's got to promote the movie.
You told me I didn't see Captain Marvel. But
you didn't?
You told me what caused Kevin Smith to cry.
Yeah.
If I was Kevin Smith, I would have celebrated. Just saying. That would have made me smile.
But I can understand.
Personally.
I can understand. There's an emotional side to it. I get crying about
again,
it.
Again, I will clarify again because people still can't get in the chat. It is okay to cry.
It's always
we
good
are
to cry.
On board with crying.
If
that is
if
fine.
You end up crying, send a picture of yourself crying and tweet it at Sean because Sean can collect.
Yeah,
it.
Let him know.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Maybe I can ask this. Maybe I can't.
Okay.
Interesting question.
You're gonna ask it.
Maybe I should stop here.
Ooh.
Can you think of the hardest you ever cried? And is that actually something you want to share?
Mm.
You know, it could be as simple as funeral.
Yeah, I can't think.
I'm trying to think
as simple as a funeral or as complicated as spilled milk.
As Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Because I think.
You get the ball rolling while
I think for me, I had a cousin pass away. She was very young, so it was a shock to everybody. But I was fine through the whole thing. Like, it was such a, like, oh, shit, this is serious, that I was fine the whole time. Because it was so crazy. It was just like, I got to keep up with what's going on. I can't believe this happened. And I was fine the whole time. And then like at the tail end of it, we were doing like funeral stuff. And I normally am fine at funerals. But it was like I hadn't released the whole like week of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, ah! I mean, it was like full like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most I can think of. I'm not sure if there's worse. Anyway, feel free to dig into your darkest moments. What do you guys think?
Shit.
When I saw Son of Saul, which was a Hungarian Holocaust film like 4 or 3 years ago, after the credits rolled, I just sat in the theater for like 5 minutes just like bawling. But to myself, wow. I didn't take a selfie, but it says my grandmother's Jewish. She had to flee like Russia, where she lived, I think it was Ukraine, was being bombed by like Nazi Germany. So like it was just like this whole wave of emotions like holy shit. Like that film really affected me. Before that, I probably the hardest cried was when I was like a kid throwing a tantrum. So that was like my adult moment crying. But
that's what I mean as a mature human.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, kids cry hard when they tantrum out because that's like an angry cry.
Yeah, I
can't remember the last time I had one of those.
A tantrum?
An angry, like a real, like passionate, you know, anger fueled cry.
Yeah.
I honestly can't remember. If it was an animal's death or a family member's death or what was the hardest?
Yeah.
I don't know because I've been holding it together for a while.
The toss up between animal or family
I told
member.
You. You can't trust humans, bro.
I think mine was when my rabbit died.
Yeah? Because that's what I'm thinking. Like animal deaths affected me first because I didn't have people in my family die until I was much older. And I hold that in a lot more now than I used to.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my rabbit died when I was like 13, and I think that was my first death.
Yeah, and that one would be it, yeah.
And that was, like, I found it dying, and it died in my lap. I was home alone. We didn't have cell phones.
So you had to struggle with that until your parents got home.
That was fun.
Yikes.
That was a long time ago.
I'm not going to share because I don't want to bring the room down. No, I've had such fucked up shit happen in my life. I've cried for weeks at a time. But sometimes.
That's why I kept it a little vague.
Do you ever just cry for no reason?
like life just gets you down and you're just like driving in your car and you're like, fuck it, I gotta shed a tear.
Yeah. I specifically just thought about that the other day for some reason, but I remember loading, I don't remember, there's just a bunch of lousy shit happening. I want to say it was like 2012, and I remember unpacking, I think it was like Time Traveler's DVDs from my car or something, and I don't know what it was. I just felt very small, you know? I had that feeling of just like, where am I going right now? And I just, I just fucking broke and just cried. And then I came inside. I think I was visiting my family or something, and they were like, was everything okay outside? Something happened? I was like, yeah.
Should have taken a
selfie. Oh, there's bugs out there. There's bugs.
I have that moment a lot. Like, I think I cry a lot more than I used to. Definitely. And it's all because of the kids, and it's never because they like fucked up, but it's like I just see them getting older in front of my eyes, and it fucks with me a little bit.
That's heavy.
Like, I was driving in the car a couple days ago, and I look in the rearview mirror, and Sawyer's just sitting in the seat, and she looks so fucking old. I was just like, fuck, dude. Like, it's already happening, and I just like started like feeling like that emotion. Yeah, so like, it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, every now and then you gotta let one out.
I find that I'm definitely more sensitive than I let on. I'm really sensitive about a lot of stuff. What happened to this fucking podcast?
It's holy good. Shit. This is the shit
I'm for. More sensitive than I think I let on, but I'm pretty good at like not letting it affect me right now. You know what? I've gotten pretty good at like darting around it. Like, I know I'm sensitive about this, but I'm not gonna, you know, whatever. But then I reach a limit, and then like some little thing will set me off, and all that stuff that I've like compressed down fucking comes out. So like, you know what I mean? Like a bunch of big bad stuff will happen, and then like a printer won't work, and it'll be like,
oh yeah,
I just don't know what's happening, you know? It'll just completely whatever.
I'm
definitely guilty of that.
That printer
that was a made-up example.
Yeah, well, oh well, that printer shit scared me in that time because you were so calm about it. Like, you were like, you always
that's
kinda
different.
You always kind of sing a song to yourself. I don't know if you know this about yourself, but you just kind of do this. So I was like,
I do?
Yeah. Am I crazy that Rock always has a little, he has a constant.
For sure.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
What
you
the
have,
fuck?
You, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
Mariel, is that true?
Yeah.
Yes.
What
when
the fuck?
When at conventions or
Rocco, Rocco, you have a constant soundtrack running
Rocco,
at all times.
Rocco, you walk into a room and it's always,
are you fucking serious?
What
is this Brian shit?
We gotta film it next time it happens.
I just thought you knew.
I don't know about, no. I do this?
What?
It's like a guy in Stomp. You're like,
what? People at home. Who went to game days? Who went to game days? Did I do that there?
Yeah,
I mean, I know I do it as a joke. Like you know, your kids will be there and I'll be going,
No, Rocco. Rocco,
it's when you're working.
You're alone and like you're just walking down the hall and you're
what
doing that
fuck?
As you're walking down the hall.
Yeah, you're like beatboxing.
Yeah, it's cool.
What?
It's cool.
Fuck? I do it on Future Probe?
Yes.
I don't even know myself.
Probably when you're getting set up, yeah.
What the
well,
fuck
anyways,
is going on?
I didn't mean to blow your mind like
thing
that.
In life to
I thought you knew.
I got to
take a break.
That's what therapy's good for. You learn about yourself.
So he just is making that sound. This is all calm. Eric agrees, yes. And then he just grabs a printer and like rips it out of the wall and then walks away. And then you hear like the dumpster open and then the lattice, boom, boom, boom. And he walks back in. What the fuck?
That wasn't
That's the soundtrack of going postal.
That wasn't me. Now, that was a separate issue with myself, which is not, it wasn't like I had bottled up emotions and I took it out on that printer.
Yeah.
I used that example earlier, but that's not what that was. I remember that specifically. What it was is that there are little things, again, I can deal with the bigger stuff pretty okay. But when a printer doesn't print, well, it's useless. Okay, get it the fuck out of here. Yeah, I'm throwing it away. Yeah. I have no patience for the fucking little thing that doesn't do what it's supposed to do. So that was just me. I think it was like the fifth time it hadn't printed something. So I was just like, yeah, just throw it away. That's it. Why waste time on this?
Yeah.
And that's not healthy either. Sometimes, you know, you need to put the elbow grease in and get it working. But I lost my patience.
Sometimes you lose it. Well, guys, where do we go from here?
Devil May Cry. Is a good
go up.
Is
go
a good
up
segue
is a great answer.
Go up. Okay. When were you the happiest? Kevin put his dogs
Kevin
down.
Kevin just said when he put his dogs down.
What? That's not.
And this is why we took away your mic, Kev.
Jesus.
What?
How did you go that dark?
No. Oh. Yeah, we're talking about happy.
God damn it, Kevin.
Whoa, he got confused. This guy's fucked up. He's fucked up. Man.
All right.
You know what? I agree with the chat. Kevin is canceled. That's it. Yeah. What he said about dogs?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways. Yikes.
So Devil May Cry, this is the fifth one.
Well, it's our
Sean
sixth
has
one.
Nothing and to add to
how
this.
How exciting is this?
Yeah, tell us your favorite.
Let
I
me
hear
tell
they
you,
solve a murder in this game.
I had a countdown going for it, like,
yep.
And we got here, and I thought, this is the day. I didn't buy the game, but I just knew it was the day, and I was real excited.
Nice.
Last Friday, you
very
knew
exciting.
Us.
I don't know how the hell it happened.
Dante starts a podcast about solving crimes.
Yeah, he does. He has the opening is starts with. In slow-mo, he jumps out of a van. He slow-mo throws AirPods into his ears. And he's like, oh, they fucked the corpse.
Hey, there was a podcast recommended to me.
Five
I
stars.
Did not
Uh-oh.
Listen to it. Because I was like,
why
I'm going to get shit.
What was it called?
The title,
greatest baseball stories?
The title is so fucking batshit that it's like, they're going to never forgive me.
Plug it.
Okay.
What is it?
Go
it's
ahead.
Bloody Nightmares Forever.
Hey, guys. Yes. It's Murderville, Georgia.
That sounds made up.
I swear to God. And so I was like, I can't listen to Murderville. If I say I liked it, they're going to give me so much shit.
Hey, to be fair, when we were in here earlier, Mario was here earlier today helping us work on something. And she's like, oh, my favorite podcast that I really liked was canceled. Right? Didn't you bring that up?
Yeah.
And what was it? What was it called?
Sword and Sorcery. Sword and Scale.
Sword and Scale.
That's
yeah.
And that sounded fine.
That's a game.
And then it was like, what was it about? And it was like murder.
Yeah,
or something.
I have that. I'm subscribed to that. I haven't
not
listened
anymore.
To it. Oh, shit.
Yeah, they canceled it like this weekend.
But it's good.
What?
I can still listen to it.
Yeah.
It was like one of the first big true crime ones. And it started out great. And then I stopped because after like maybe 20 or 30 episodes, it became just like very exploitative. Just like it seemed like you're embellishing shit, and your every other word was a mattress ad. Like,
and that's the thing is, I don't.
That's every podcast.
These murder podcasts, like if there's an interesting story behind it, like trying to find out who did it or whatever, that's interesting. But like, I don't want to hear about the crime itself. That's a fucking bummer.
Sure. Well, anyway, sorry. Devil May Cry. Sorry. There's no. I was going to say there's no murder
Devil
in it,
May
but
crime
that would
down.
Be lying. But Devil May Cry, somehow, it's really great. It's really, really good. And that series was kind of in a rut for a while. I mean, they're all pretty good. You know, some people dog on too, but I think they're all fun games. But they kind of just became kind of the same thing over and over. So then you had DMC, which was the best of all of them. Okay, sorry. I just wanted to pause so everyone could leave a comment.
Yeah.
And, that was just a joke. I'm joking, everybody. But I did think DMC was fun.
I like it.
The characters and the writing were a little try-hard, but it was a fun game, I thought.
Yeah.
But anyway, but Devil May Cry 5 has such great polish to it. When I played it at PAX, there was someone at from Capcom. Patrick, if you're watching from Capcom, shout out.
Yeah.
And he told me, he's like, the Resident Evil 7 engine is the best thing that happened to us. Because check that out. And I was about to fight these Grim Reaper monsters, and they look so good. And they're like rotting, and it just looked visually so incredible. And he's like, that's that engine in motion. And so that's Resident Evil 2 Remake and this that are built with that 7 engine. And it all looks so good. But anyway, the game is really fun. You play as three different characters. I haven't played as Dante yet, but this character V. Now I'm not super far.
I just
but
got there.
This character V. You don't even really. Well, you kind of play as him, but he's walking around. But he doesn't even do the attacking. Depending on what button you press, he sends an animal out. So like Y, you have like a panther slashing everyone up, and then X, you've got a bird shooting shit at people. And then, but you can't finish enemies off. He has to jam his cane into them when they're dying. Like, so you're kind of controlling three things at once. It was fun.
And then,
I really enjoyed it.
If you're
that.
Like Devil Trigger's full, you can summon a giant ass monster that'll fight it. Like, because like the first one you start out is like Nero, Nico, whatever. I don't know the story shit at all. But the gameplay is great.
Yeah.
Starts near the hack and slash stuff, and you have like a gun arm, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But that V character almost feels like Final Fantasy or an RPG because you're summoning shit.
Yeah.
But it's really, really cool.
And V, my favorite part about the character V,
you can read.
Sean, you should play this game.
Yeah.
Because that guy is Christopher Demon.
What?
He looks just like him. And the whole time I'm playing at him, he has this voice
get,
like this. And I'm like, I don't know. Is this game on PC?
Yes, it's on everything.
Yeah. You got to mod that game that Sean's voice is coming from that character.
Yeah.
If anyone could get that going,
I'll do that voice for it.
Hold on. Let me take my shoes off real quick.
All right. So, okay, this panther, you could do the job. Oh, don't worry about this cane. What you see is what you get.
Let me take my shoes off real quick.
Here, let me just poke you with my cane real quick. What you see is what you get. I'm telling you that game would be 10 times better.
Let's go, baby.
But all right. You know.
If someone message me, I will record the voice if you want. We can get this done.
I think that would be awesome.
Okay.
But anyway, great game. I'm not super far into it, but I just want to say my favorite aspect of the game is that you halfway through any given level, you can buy supplies. You have a this girl that drives a van. She brings her van in and, you know, halfway through the level, it's almost like a checkpoint. And you can kind of like, okay, let me upgrade this, whatever. When you call, like you'll find a phone halfway through every level. You pick up a payphone. Hey, I'm ready. Yeah, bring the supplies. What I give them so much credit for, this is so good, is that they don't just fade to black and fade up and, oh, the van's here. And you could, every time you do that, it's how does she get the van into the fucking spot that you're in? So you'll make the call. All right, I'm ready. And it's like, oh, fuck, fuck. I mean, it. She will. It's okay, but it will. She will be up on a ledge and fucking drop that van so hard onto the pavement or drive it through a wall. It is.
Yeah,
I was like, they committed to it. Thank you.
Nico is my favorite part of the game. So
yeah,
far. I saw that character art and I thought I'm gonna like this character. And the accent and the performance from the voice acting and everything is so top notch. That's my favorite part of the game. So
yeah. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say about it. I'm having a good time.
And when I started, I sucked at it. And then you upgrade your skills specifically with that character. You can like you hold R1 and hit circle, and you can like grapple towards enemies, and you extend that. So now I'm getting better at keeping my combos going. But gameplay of it.
I'm still getting used to that, but I'm playing on like normal, like the default mode. You know, played Devil May Cry before, and I'm beating bosses after maybe like. I've had to redo a boss fight once, but usually, like every first try, I'm getting to the end of the level.
There's a deluxe version of the game too. I didn't get that, but I kind of almost wish I would have because it has live action versions of all the cutscenes. They did previs of everything and motion capture too, so you can watch all the cutscenes. It's just live action Japanese actors just in their studio. Acting everything out and doing bad green screen of like, oh, the cigarette flies by. There's a chroma keyed cigarette and they grab it. I mean, it's so funny. But I think you can get that stuff from the PlayStation Store. Somebody's saying so. I'm going to check that out because I love that stuff.
That's a really neat idea to add that. Because they already had that stuff.
Yeah.
Why not put it
in
there?
You can flip over to that. I love that.
That's awesome. That's a great idea.
I want to talk about, was there anything else about Devil May Cry? I wanted to bring this up last week. But we had a Rooster Teeth surprise last week, you know, caught us off guard. Gus sent somebody over. It was a whole thing. But this week I wanted to talk about Kevin and I went to Sega this last week because we were invited to play the game Judgment that's coming out this summer, created by the Yakuza team, which it's kind of. It's a similar setup. It's in the city, you know, very same setting. Yakuza are involved again, but you are a detective. And a very, very famous Japanese actor actually plays the detective. Like, he's scanned in and all that stuff. But anyway, we got to play that at Sega, an early build of it, and it was awesome. I didn't know what to expect because I've always liked the Yakuza games, but I'm like, what is this going to add, like being on the other side of it? Is that going to be more fun or whatever? It was all like tailing people and like spying on them and trying to look cool and like, but it has all the exaggerated stuff you expect from the Yakuza games where it's super exaggerated, like, you know, he sees you, so like you could hit a button to dart behind a sign and it like slow-mo, like, and you're hiding. It's awesome. And then there were some times where it was like, you know what? He's over there. That's going to be weird to get to. And I'm like, you know what? Send a drone. So I actually had a drone overhead, like snapping pictures of him, stuff like that. It was really cool. I don't know how they didn't hear the drone. That's for Sega to figure out. But anyway, but it was a lot of fun. And it was just enough of a fresh it felt like a Yakuza game, but fresh enough that it was a whole different thing, you know, kind of experience. So anyway, I had a great time with that. Kevin, you liked what you saw? Yeah. Kevin liked what he saw. So that's all. I just wanted to throw that out there. And thank you, Sega, for letting us play that. I think they thought we were with Tips and Tricks magazine or something, but
I used to love That's, Tips and Tricks right? magazine. That was my favorite magazine as
yeah,
a kid.
Yeah, I love Tips and Tricks.
Got to get all the codes for the Super Nintendo.
What a world we used to live in where that was how you had to get codes. And,
and even just walk through strategy, guys.
I just, hey, straight up, I just straight up miss
yeah.
codes.
Yeah.
Where are the codes?
I was
the fun
playing,
codes.
Big Head mode.
Beckett and I played Turtles in Time last night. He had never played it before, but that game is fucking great. I love that.
Classic.
Classic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, playing them, like, dude, games cost the same amount of money, pretty much, as they did back then.
Yeah.
But, like, people complain about, like, an 8-hour game or whatever, and, like, look at Turtles in Time. That game
They
is
were
like,
more expensive back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Games
they were
70
yeah.
bucks.
Yeah. And this game is like, okay, we were done in an hour and 15 minutes, beat the whole thing. Graphics sucked, but we're still fun.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's still, and this is a classic. This is one of the best games ever on the system. And it's like, we're so fucking spoiled that we're complaining about this 8-hour 3D beautiful game. It's like, oh, it's only 8 hours. Oh, fuck.
Well, you know, I had that same experience. Right now, I'm playing Final Fantasy IX on Switch because they put that on there. I haven't played it since it came out. And I remember being, I kind of had mixed feelings on it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to play it again now and see what I think. And I'm enjoying it. But yeah, when they announced the price, it was like, $22.99? Like, how old is that game? $22.99? First of all, you couldn't round it to 20? Like, that was already kind of weird. But $22.99, a lot of people balked at the price, and myself included. I thought that was a little bit much. But, you know, I'm playing it, and this is, I'm like, having, like, a 40-hour experience with this game, and I'm like, you know, 20 was... maybe it's okay. You know what I mean? It's like, it's an old game, but, man, I'm getting a lot out of it, you know? So it's always, that stuff's hard to... Games are real weird, you know. To one person, it's something sounds like a good deal, and to another, it's like, you know, it's hard to gauge that.
There's just no other medium that you can spend your money on that you spend so much time into, and then you say it was a waste of money.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like I still know people that played Phantom Pain for like 150 plus hours and then beat it and went, that wasn't worth it. It's like you played that long, and you. I don't know.
You see it all the time on Steam, where there'll be a game where it's like 1,500 hours played. This game fucking sucks. Downvote. Don't recommend it. And yeah, 1,000 hours played for all these people.
Yeah, I don't know. That kind of stuff surprises me. Where, you know, movies are still just a couple hours of entertainment, and
yeah,
that price
and you
keeps
spend
going
more
up.
Than that. Yeah. Like if I buy, you know, take it from me and Jenny, we just go see a movie. It's like $27. $20 for your fucking thing. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You got it.
You should stay home with Jenny. She'd probably love Final Fantasy IX.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw
Netflix is
all ages.
$12.
Yeah, she loves it.
I saw a thing the other day that the average ticket price countrywide right now is $8.97. And I was like, I haven't paid that in a decade. Yeah, I think every time that I go to the movies, I'm going to say it's give or take 15. You know, maybe it goes down to 12, maybe it's 15, but typically in that range. That's what I pay. But we're in California, so I'm curious, people out there, is that what
you think? I think Horton Plaza has $5 movies on Tuesday.
Yeah, ooh, I know a lot of places do that. That's true.
20 gotta go to, plus?
Yeah. Gotta go to the matinee.
In LA?
Yeah.
Per ticket?
Yeah.
Is it IMAX?
Is it like IMAX or something?
No, not every time.
I've heard that it's more expensive.
You're getting hosed.
A lot of theaters, too, if you go like before 10 a.m., if you go to the first showing of the day, it's like $8.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Whatchamacallit, and that one theater that we go to made a thing that, hey, flat, it's $8.50.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, so that theater is cool. So maybe, you know, some people might have more of those theaters than the ones we have. You know, I know when we're in San Francisco, they were all 20. Like, it was 20 no matter what, so.
When I went and saw Captain Marvel last night, it was IMAX.
Yeah.
That was $44 for two tickets.
Oh, okay, so 22.
Did you like Captain Marvel?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, you sure?
It was. It was another origin story. So I like that Marvel's kind of passed most of their origin stories, and there's like these team ups, and that's kind of what I feel like. It's either sequels or team ups, but this was back to origin story again. But I will say, without spoiling anything. I did like how heavily Samuel L. Jackson is Nick Fury in this. So,
as opposed to him playing another character.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of Nick Fury action in this movie, aside from a cameo.
Yeah,
that's
cool. Oh, go ahead.
No, I said that's cool.
Oh, that is cool. No, I just think that, you know, with her origin, though, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so, I didn't either. I don't follow that comment.
So, I don't know anything about
it. I think I would need that origin story for me to understand who this person is at all.
It was good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard from everybody. It's like, that's fine. That's good.
Do we need more origin stories?
That's where I'm kind of
saying, like, if you're going to introduce a character, I guess, because I don't know who that is.
Because I don't know anything about her.
She's going to be in the next, like, Marvel movies as a hero to help them against
I thought that it was ending. Tight. I thought after this...
Sounds radical.
There's an Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, and that's the last one, I thought, right? And this is done?
Forever.
No, because the first movie that is coming out in this Wave 2, get ready for Wave 2.
This is Wave 2?
Avengers is still Wave 1. The first Wave 2 movie is Spider-Man Away From Home or Far Away From Home.
Okay.
Far From Home? What it is?
I think
Dawn
is.
Of the Far Web.
What? But wait a minute. So... I just thought, like, I know, like, all, like, the contracts for, like...
Spider-Man Broken Home.
Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. is, yeah. Like, inspired and all that stuff like that.
So they might recast people or renegotiate those contracts.
Hey,
who knows?
Does anyone out here feel this way about Spider-Man right now? Tell me if I'm... Rocco, you're fucked up. Whatever.
Okay.
Into the Spider-Verse was such an enthralling, like, to me... That is everything I love about Spider-Man. I mean, like, I honestly felt that way about the game, too. The game was so, like, colorful and fun and, you know what I mean? Oh, you played a ton of it, you know. But I thought Into the Spider-Verse, I could not ask for a better Spider-Man movie than that. My God, how much fun that was. I can't get into the live-action one now. Like, I feel like, man, I got everything I wanted from that animated one. That this live action thing, I feel like it's just kind of like this bumbly kid and like his like adventures with his aunt. Like, I just, right? I'm just like, I'm so like disengaged from that. I want more the Spider-Verse shit. I don't know. Does anyone else feel that way? Like, after that, I feel like I can't like go back to this other thing. But that's just me.
Did you like Homecoming?
Homecoming?
Did you watch Spider-Man Homecoming?
I don't really like him as like a bumbly, twerpy kid.
Did you
like,
watch Spider-Man Homecoming?
What's that?
Did you see that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just thought, I don't know. I think in my mind, Spider-Man is, what I love about him the most is his, like, the amount of, like, colorful, crazy villains and, like, all the kind of heightened nature of it. That was why I liked him in contrast to Batman. And then I just felt like Homecoming was a lot of, like, teen comedy. Like, oh man, I'm gonna get in trouble. Like, I just
yeah, it's definitely like an origin story.
Yeah,
again.
Spider-Verse to me made the use of his universe in such a way that was like, fuck, thank you, that was great. You know, so that's just how I felt. But Homecoming was funny. I did think a lot of the shit in that movie was funny, and I love Michael Keaton. He was great. He's always great. Anyway, yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah,
can you go back? I can't. I don't think I can.
Give it some time. Jake Gyllenhaal is in this new one.
I know a lot of people think that we're in like a golden age of Spider-Man right now.
Well, I mean, I love the video game and I love, yeah, Spider-Verse. And, you know, well, yeah, a lot of people love the live action one. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we are.
Maybe you are crazy.
Maybe you're nuts.
Or maybe you hate Spider-Man.
I do.
Maybe,
uh-oh, that's me. I do love the idea that the new one, though, has Mysterio in it because I always like Mysterio. Rey Mysterio, 619.
Since we're talking about Spider-Man, you know, I don't like superhero movies, but I have been reading a lot of comics lately, yeah. And I actually went to San Diego Comic Fest this weekend, which is like Comic-Con if Comic-Con was mixed with a tiny anime convention. It was really small, like in a hotel. The panels were like five people in every conversation. It was tiny. But I got the full run of Batman versus Predator.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
From 1991. And I didn't know Batman versus Predator was a real thing. I remember there was a Batman versus Predator fan film on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. 15 years ago.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. I brought that up to Derek. I was like, that Batman versus Predator, if I remember correctly, was kind of one of the first big, like, well-done fan movies. Like fan films, whatever, that was on the internet. Like, I remember downloading that from like Kazaa or something. And it was like, dude, check this out. Like, it was shot cool.
That's, if you would have told me that this comic came out in like 2008, I would say, I'm not fucking reading that. But 91 is like, okay, I'll give it a shot.
You know what?
Yeah, yeah.
I was reading it and it did a really good job of capturing the vibe of Predator movies. And the Tim Burton, like, Gotham, where, you know, it was kind of like
gothic and dark. There's an opening scene where the predator attacks a guy in a junkyard who's watching a boxing fight, and it's like close-ups of him like opening beer and drinking it. And I got vibes of like a sci-fi horror movie where it's like, oh shit, something bad's gonna fucking happen to this guy. I know it, but he doesn't know it. It was pretty cool.
That's cool.
It was only three issues. The ending was super weak. I thought I was along for the ride. Predator almost kills Batman. Batman has to get surgery. He's recovering for a long time. Everybody thinks he's dead. Predator is just murdering everybody in the city. Finally, Batman comes back to fight him. And then it fizzled out. I was very
Batman
disappointed.
Just covers himself in mud and goes, oh! And Alfred's like, shut up.
There were these classic Predator moments where Predator, you know, sets off the bomb on his wrist. And Batman's like, what's that? And I was like, what's that? Didn't you ever see fucking Predator? That's the nuke on his arm, bro. Get the fuck out of there.
See the movie, dude.
Bruce missed that movie.
You want me to tell you how it ends? Or
How does it fizzle
I mean,
out?
Yeah, do people in the chat care? I mean, they've had 30
hey,
years.
91, guys. It. Nobody even knew it existed till I said it about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Batman kicks Predator's ass. Batman, he puts on this super armor, and he's like, all right, I'm going to fight Predator now. He's all like fucking armored up metal
Hell
Batman.
Yeah.
He's kicking Predator's ass. Predator can't do shit. They're fighting. They end up going through Wayne Manor. Predator's running through Wayne Manor. He escapes. Batman takes a baseball bat, follows Predator out into the woods, starts hitting him with a baseball bat. I'm like, yeah, fucking get him, Batman. Then the Predator ship like comes down from space, opens up, and like 10 more Predators walk out.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Bad news.
Bad news for Batman. But then they like hand the Predator who's been fighting Batman a sword, and he commits ritual suicide.
Oh, come on. And that's lame.
And then they present the sword to Batman as a gift, and they fly off into space.
Whoa.
And Batman's like, yeah. They won't come back now that they know what lives in Gotham. And I was like, I liked it better when you were just kicking his ass.
Dude, Predators have ultimate respect for the Batman.
Whoa. Did not see
he's
that coming.
He's a warrior.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming either, and I didn't want to see it.
The Predator has a lot of honor. It's crazy.
So
you're saying there's more.
There are two sequels, you know, two separate runs, but that was the whole first one. I enjoyed it. I liked it, but a little disappointing with the ending.
Huh.
I want to see Batman versus Alien. I want to see Spider-Man versus Prometheus.
I probably have those.
Ooh, that'll be cool.
Like he goes, who made us? Like these webs, but who made us?
I've not read a lot of comics in my life, like very few.
Yeah.
But I do this thing, and I feel like I'm doing. I know I'm doing it wrong, but I can't help myself. I open up the page and I look at the last thing on the bottom page just to see like where it goes.
What?
And I don't.
That's not going to tell you anything.
Well, I just like you can see things, and it's like, oh, I shouldn't have seen that yet. But it's like I can't like work my way there. I always go like right for what you know. Like I cheat.
What's wrong with you?
Sorry.
Do you do that when you read a book? Do you read the last sentence?
No. Never in a book. Only in a comic. I don't know. I don't know, guys.
Same thing.
I need to correct myself. I did forget that Joker Alien is a thing. That did happen.
Superman fought aliens.
Yeah, and I think it was involved in that. Maybe I don't know for sure. But all I know is NECA, the toy company that make you know figures and stuff, they've had a Joker Alien figure in the works and like they've been working out the legality for like 5 years like to get that out. Huh. So it does exist.
I also picked up a bunch of these underground comics from the 70s. Like, I got a couple comics called Slow Death and Skull. I won't go too much into them, but damn, those are some fucked up comics. I was explaining to Garrett some of the stories in there, and it is like...
You said they were called underground
comics?
It makes sense. The name suits them.
I've read a lot of horror comics, and I always find that they're a little bit tame. Like, oh, okay, and then oh wow, the there was a zombie. Oh shit! But these were like borderline pornographic. But they're comic books. They're cartoony. They're supposed to be like funny, but then also just like really heinous and fucked up. honestly,
right up your alley,
Mariel, it kind of reminds me of the art you used to do of like exploding girls, like. That happens a lot in these comics.
I miss those days. Mariel, where's the
Can
exploding
I, yeah, what was that?
Can I tell everybody one of the stories from one of these horror comics?
Yeah, please.
If you want to hear. And I have to warn everybody, this is not for the kids at home.
Okay.
This one's fucked up. But one of the stories was about like a little person, you know, a dwarf. But he's very freakish. He looks like, you know, he's like horrific and freakish. And he fantasizes about this girl in the town that he really wants to have sex with. He works in a pharmacy. And one day she comes in with a new boyfriend. And the boyfriend like makes fun of him, beats him up. And his mind breaks. And he's like, I'm going to get revenge on the town. So he works in the pharmacy and he fills all the prescriptions with these serums that make everybody shrink. Because he's a dwarf and he wants to make them feel how he feels. So then he gives it to everybody in the town and it's scenes of like guys taking a shit on the toilet and then they start to shrink and they like fall into the toilet and like stupid stuff like that. It's all gonzo. They all get mad and they go back and they demand like, we need the antidote. And he says, I'll give you the antidote, but give me the girl. So they give him the girl, and she's like, what the fuck? And he takes the girl, and he's like, here are the antidotes, and he gives him a bunch of bottles. But then the story explains, like, oh, but the antidotes weren't mixed properly. They don't make you grow all at once. It's for different parts of the body. But the people didn't know that. So they take the antidote, and then, like, their brains are exploding out of their heads. Their eyes are exploding out of their faces. Their guts are exploding out of their stomachs. Different parts of their bodies are growing at different rates. Then it hard cuts to this dwarf having sex with this girl. It's not fun.
Her dad just dropped her off Belle's dad in Beauty and the Beast,
like,
right?
A miserable experience.
Just gave her up.
Beauty and the Beast style. Gave her to the Beast. Here you go, Beast. Here's my daughter. Have fun. The story ends. The like capper on this story is, oh, but he saved one antidote for himself. And he grabs a bottle labeled genitals and injects into his dick. And the final panel is like this girl exploded with this. This dude has like a 30-foot dick now. This comic was written in 1970.
This is how Predator versus Batman should have ended.
I'm reading this comic and I come to the last page and I can't help myself. I'm just like, holy shit. Like, I was not fucking ready for that.
Dude, did you just grab these at, like, that Comic-Con? Like, that convention?
I got them at Comic Fest. And these are all, you know, the underground comics. These were coming out of, like, San Francisco, 1968 to 1973. These were not mainstream. This was, like, R. Crumb, Art Spiegelman before he did Mouse. Apparently, Leonardo DiCaprio's dad was an underground comic illustrator, George DiCaprio.
Whoa.
I read a story that Leonardo DiCaprio used to sling these comics at, like, West Coast comic conventions. This shit's crazy. And it's like, I've read a bunch of Tales from the Crypts from the 50s, but there's nothing as fucking heinous as this stuff.
Fuck
heinous.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
This sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you listen to Murder Town. It can't be worse than what's in there.
Yeah, Sean's got fucked up podcast. Derek's got fucked up comics. Am I the only normal one here?
You are.
You're the one.
You and your Skull Comics issue number 2, if anybody out there wants to pick it up.
Yeah, damn, I wonder if there's like a trade. That actually sounds really cool.
I don't know. I mean, go to a comic convention and look for the underground comics.
I want to mention, there's one comic series that's running right now monthly. My favorite comics team, Brubaker and Phillips, they have a new comic coming out called Criminal. They used to do one about 10 years ago. It's back. And it's a monthly like anthology series. Each one is just like a crime story set in the city. And everything has the vibe of like a 70s, like even like Taxi Driver or anything. Just like gritty crime stuff. It's not superhero stuff. It's Image is putting out. It's monthly. So you go into any comic book shop, you can start getting these Criminals. It's awesome. So check that out if you want to check out comics and Skull Comics, which sounds rad. But Criminal's really good. Check it out.
You know, all this talk about violence and everything just kind of makes me want to cry. Are you getting it?
Close up, Kevin. Come on.
Oh,
can you actually make yourself cry on command? Are you a
good
enough
actor? I wonder
if
I can. It might be boring footage, though, if I can.
No, you know what? It's not boring.
Like
go for it.
Exercises where you can do that.
I need music.
How do you, like,
need headphones in to do that.
Do you cry at the right swell of music?
At the right swell of
music? Yeah.
Depends on what's going on, yeah. It happens.
When you guys were talking about just crying out of nowhere, like, you know, just for no reason.
Life got you down.
It's never that, but it's when a song comes on and it'll trigger it. Not really for no reason, because it's the song that makes me, it'll just like, oh, fuck, this song's so good.
What's
right
that
now.
Theme from Lost where it's like
Danzig Mother?
I remember I was just driving once, and that came on my shuffle, and I just started thinking of like some friends who I hadn't seen in a long time, and I think I started crying because of that Lost theme song.
Yeah,
dude, that's a good score. Life and death. Yes. So just think of that.
Like my eyes are misty right now, but I don't know if I can full on eject tears. Yeah, I don't know if I
tear bullets.
Didn't you say Dead or Alive Extreme, the newest one's not coming to America? Just think of sad shit like that.
That is sad.
Damn.
Sad. Speaking of that, actually, I do want to say I did play Dead or Alive 6. That came out. And I was streaming it. It's there's not really a lot new in it. It's like, okay. Well,
do they fight?
They do. And nice. You know, and they're all alive, contrary to popular belief. But the thing, what's fun about Dead or Alive is collecting all the costumes, and there's a ton of unlockables. That's what Dead or Alive is known for. They're so hard to unlock in this game. I streamed it the day it came out, and I was like, every time I do something, I unlock random pieces of people's stuff. Why can't I just unlock stuff for the person I'm playing as? This makes no sense. I said that on the stream. That night, they announced, oh, we're going to patch it later March so that it makes more sense and you get the stuff for the character you're playing as.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I guess I won't play it right now. It was totally that moment where it's like, I guess I'm putting this away. Because
that's how, like Overwatch, Apex Legends, a lot of free-to-play games will have, like, you unlock stuff for different characters, so you try those characters or you pay for more cosmetics. Yeah. But yeah, if you're paying $60 for this game, and then the other thing is, like, so much of the content's locked behind a season pass.
Yeah. It's kind of weak. Kind of weak. I'm sorry, but I can't stop. I think a big part of the reason I can't actually cry, I'm still laughing about, I don't know why this keeps making me laugh. This thought keeps coming up and I have to hold laughter back. The idea of Batman chasing Predator with a bat keeps creeping back into my head.
I was stoked.
Like, where the fuck is he?
Where the Batman has all these advanced gadgets. But he goes after him with a baseball bat.
Get the fuck back.
You want to see how I got my name?
You're in my house, bitch.
Sean with the easiest, most brilliant joke. Fuck. Oh, my God. I wasn't even thinking about that. Chasing after him with a bat. Get the fuck back here. Hey, bitch. Anyway.
Hey, you fucking predator.
Hey, predator, bitch. Get back here, dude. Don't you fucking self-destruct, bro. Fight me, bro. Let's take this outside.
That's all. I liked it. It was good.
What's cooler, Batman and Robin or Gatman and Robin, R-O-B-B-I-N?
Oh.
Think about it. No, don't answer now. Think about
it. Think about it first.
Okay. Oh, hey, we should. You know what? We haven't done any plugs this whole show.
Oh, do them.
So now I'm going to. You know what? They're late. Now I got to overcompensate and do like 10 times more plugs. We're going to plug people who don't even sponsor us. They're not even aware of us. Blue Apron, the glasses thing. Ooh,
the glasses thing. Dollar Shave Club.
Fleshlight. Post We're getting things. Them all. Fleshlights. They feel great. So do the glasses. The end.
Kickapoo Joy Juice.
Kickapoo Joy Juice. They're Fire Machines.
Warped Tour.
They're back. Warped Tour. Sumo. Fucking Costco.
Kirkland,
I'm sure they need
it. Kirkland brand.
Kirkland. Dude, do you know Kirkland? They make a lot of shit.
I got a Kirkland thing here, too.
Whoa.
Hell yeah, dude.
Dead shit.
Kirkland. We were given that for free for this plug.
Well, anyway, they'll pay us. We'll invoice them.
Yeah, we'll invoice them later.
But you know what? In the meantime, shop.mega64.com is a great place to go for great gear, apparel, media. You name it, it's there. In fact, recently, I want to say good job. Mario, you did that sweatshirt for us.
Yeah.
Pre-orders are closed now, so I mean, really, it's an ineffective plug.
Damn it.
But it's more of a thank you because she did the art for that, and I thought that was amazing. One of my favorite items we've ever put out. But hey, something we like to do every week is the 64-hour special, which is a shirt you could only get for 64 hours. Tonight's 64-hour special is not going to get you demonetized no matter where you wear it. That's because it says, my youth pastor would love this. And that's the shirt this week, the youth pastor shirt. It's available. You know, again, the 64-hour specials, kind of insider joke shirts.
Just fun stuff. We're
fun stuff for you guys. That's up now, the youth pastor shirt.
I love this one. I loved all of them, but this one's awesome.
I love it. Shop.mega64.com. You could pick one up for yourself if you want it, and it'll be gone Wednesday.
Yeah, you cannot get in trouble wearing that shirt.
You can't. You legally can't.
Yeah.
And while you're at it, check out patreon.com/mega64. You can always get a ton of extra stuff there and support the show and all that good stuff. Just yesterday, I put up You know, something a lot of people were asking about was, did you do any behind the scenes, or did you talk about the making of the vinyl record that we did? Because that a lot of people are getting that now. There's actually a video on, again, Patreon was kind of the perfect place to put this. We're kind of this year really going into our Patreon, treating it like DVD extras. You know what I mean? Like, here's all the really hardcore extra stuff. There's almost an hour of me talking. I know already you're probably falling asleep, but if you're interested. There's almost an hour of talking about the making of this record, and I go track by track, kind of just what went into all of it. So if that's something that's interesting to you, you know, who knows? Check out patreon.com/mega64 to find out. But anyway, yeah, thanks as always for supporting our show. And by the way, if you're watching this on Twitch, you may have been unsubbed this month.
Oh, God.
You know, if you got Amazon Prime, it's a free... You get a free subscription every month. Hit the Twitch Prime button. Give us your sub for the month, and we do appreciate it. And you get extra stuff for it. Everybody wins.
And shouts out to everybody who got the Mickey Knows How to Suck It shirt, because a lot of people were all talk. Okay. Shouts out to the diehards out there who put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
And now you got a shirt that says Mickey Knows How to Suck It.
And he does it well.
Did
you pick that one up, Meryl?
No.
We'll give you.
Yeah, you know, we'll give you the friend.
Missed the window.
Discount.
That's all. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't have shit else to say.
Well, I watched. We were recommended a documentary last podcast called Behind the Curve.
I saw it too.
You watched it?
Yes.
And it's about people who believe in the flat Earth thing. Oh,
wow. It's about flat Earthers.
Flat Earthers.
Are you converted?
I'm not converted. But what a fun documentary.
It was fun to just see how those people that they're showcasing live.
Yeah.
And how you can kind of see into, like, oh, this is like 15 minutes of fame for these.
Well, the guy.
And they like
the
don't
guy who
give
is like
up.
The main feature of this guy is named Mark Sargent.
Yeah.
And I couldn't forget that because he literally wore a shirt saying, I'm Mark Sargent.
Yep.
And then, like, flat earth or whatever. It's like, okay.
Yep.
Like all. Yes, go ahead.
No, I just realized something listening to you. The flat earth movement is like the modern day equivalent. You remember, well, we weren't alive, but in the 70s, there was an abundance of people who claimed to have psychic power or like all the Bigfoot sightings. Like, I have proof. Look at this cast of Bigfoot's foot.
Yeah.
Turns out we never found Bigfoot. It was all bullshit.
No,
but these people were getting so much notoriety for it. You know, they were going on TV, and it was this whole like cultural movement of like trying to capture Bigfoot.
Yeah, this guy has
the
like
flat earth
a
thing
podcast
is,
and
it's the modern equivalent.
Yeah, it is. It's really something. You know, it's a fun documentary to watch, so I would recommend it. But they all...
It's real fun.
They have the worst fucking shirts. Like, all of the flat earth people...
Just like the Bigfoot shirts.
They walk around with the shirt saying, the earth is flat, but there's no imagination to it. It is just, earth's flat. It's like, okay.
Helvetica.
Using themselves as a billboard.
It's not even Helvetica. Yes. It's an ugly font, too.
Yeah, or like with a hashtag, like, just Google hashtag flat earth dot whatever.
They
just rip off the Bigfoot shirt. Flat earth ate my ass.
And he doesn't want
they need some talented artists.
No round earth is going
to you know, bring the quality of merch up. Then maybe I'll believe a little harder.
They say that at the end of the documentary, what they believe is the earth is flat and we're surrounded by a wall of ice, kind of like in Game of Thrones, like a huge. Oh. And so now they're getting money to go on an expedition to find the wall.
They're going.
We're gonna get to that wall.
Well, at least some of them are gonna die.
They mentioned the Truman Show a lot.
Yeah, they
and
do.
And I feel like that movie fucked a lot of people's lives up.
They probably watched it when they were younger and they thought it was real.
They reference everything to like some Hollywood version of like a lot of Matrix references.
They're all Truman.
Yeah. And it's not just the flat earth.
Oh, they don't reference textbooks or school? Shocking.
You see a couple of people they showcase, like, it's other conspiracies that they're way deep into, as well as flat earth.
Yeah.
It's never just that.
Oh, yeah. This is, like, the last one they got to.
But I think the most interesting part of that whole documentary is the relationship, the interpersonal goings-on of Mark Sargent and the redheaded girl.
Yeah.
Who's, like... just a little too pretty to be hanging out with Mark Sargent. And he's like, I mean, he acts so like awkward because you can tell he likes her. I mean, he says it a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, that interaction between the two of them throughout the whole thing is just like, oh, cringeworthy, like so bad.
Play it cool. Who is Mark Sargent?
He's just a guy who has a podcast who is like
very vocal.
He's
about
a very
it.
Prominent figure in the flat Earth movement. And so he has a podcast with another girl who is very also a big deal. But now they're like they're infighting with people. There's another guy who wouldn't be in the documentary because he says that Mark Sargent's part of the CIA.
And that guy reminds me of the Andre the Giant artist?
Oh Shepard Fairey?
Yeah. He's just like he's just like I don't know. It reminds me of the way Shepard Fairey is in interviews. He's just kind of a little sped up, a little
yelling at shit. And
what is
crazy.
The ultimate goal of the flat Earth movement?
To have everyone know that the Earth is flat and not live this lie.
Find out why they're lying.
The globalist lie.
What, living a lie?
Yeah,
I'm not living day to day. Like, check it out. The Earth is fucking round. Let's sit around and talk about it.
They want it taught in schools. They want it.
I think
they want everyone to know.
I think too many people have it too good.
Totally.
Yes.
Right now. Oh, yeah.
And without any other form of conflict, they go, well, I mean, I'm like worked up about it. It's flat.
They kind of even asked this guy, like, hey, this has become your life, being a flat earther, and like now you're making money off of it and all this stuff. Like, if you found out the world is round, what would you do? And he just kind of played it off. And he was like, well, I mean,
I can't
leave
now.
This group. It's like, yeah, obviously. This
and
is
and that's the real, like, turn, I think, in that documentary. Because it's true. He's realizing, like, even if we're proved wrong, like, I would lose my podcast and my 15 minutes of fame would be gone. And I wouldn't be able to talk to this girl anymore. And I couldn't stop.
Why doesn't he just take a fucking airplane around the world? Wouldn't that solve everything?
They talk about that.
They've heard it all before. They got excuses
they
for everything.
Have
they can't so buy many, a plane ticket?
They have a $20,000, what's the fucking thing?
Laser.
Yeah, some laser thing that cost $20,000 that proved that Earth was not going through the galaxy. I don't fucking know.
I'm not asking about a laser. I'm talking about an airplane that goes like this.
Well, they said they looked at a map. This is so stupid. They looked at a map of all like the flight trackers, and no plane was going from Australia. They were not going to the right.
They were
got them. We figured it out.
They lied to us.
Also, they have scientists about the whole movie talking about whatever, and then like the girl's like, okay, so you went on the flight trackers. Like, there's one.
Yeah.
There's one. It's like, yeah, of course there is.
Somebody in the chat just said, why don't these guys just ever check Wikipedia?
Damn.
A good point. I want to say two things real quick. I want to respond to something Derek said.
What did I say?
Did I
offend you?
With this Bigfoot shit.
Oh.
If they released 1,000 silverback gorillas into the forest in northern Washington, you'd never even see them. You'd never even know they were there. So you tell me you know everything that's in that forest. Okay? I dare you.
What?
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Second.
All right, man.
Second.
Is that where Bigfoot lives?
Yeah. That's where he's been seen. So, this is Dr. Evil, to him. Second, someone in the chat had a great suggestion, and I want to acknowledge it. They said, Mariel should do clothing designs for us.
Whoa.
And I just want to say, I'm going to look into it. I'm going to think about it. And we're going to talk. Because I think that's a real sharp idea.
We're
going
to get Mariel to design a good-looking flat Earth shirt.
Okay.
Once.
Oh.
Okay.
We're going to make that happen.
That's it. Now, that's a shirt.
Should it be just like something about Flat Earth or Flat Earth ate my ass?
Yeah, you got any ideas?
No, I don't be crude.
Yeah, because that'd be
that
hard.
Though.
Oh, well, you know what? You're the artist. I'm not going to.
Yeah,
like a cute Flat Earth. Like it's got a face and it's doing its thing. You know? It's like up in there. Did we miss Eat a Booty Day? Kevin, when was that on the calendar yet? Or?
I don't know. I think I missed it.
Okay, well, I told you to remind me. Jesus Christ, this fucking guy. All right, what are we talking about now?
I think that's it.
Oh, yeah. No, Derek, no. The thing I said about Bigfoot was actually, I think, something that, you know, that guy we talked with, Kevin and I interviewed a guy on our Creepy Old Crypt show, Scott Harriet, who he used to host Walt Disney World Inside Out, which I used to watch on the Disney Channel. He would show all the stuff they had at Disney World. I love that show. I think he said, I may be totally misquoting him, but I think he said that he kind of has this like Bigfoot kind of like obsession, you know, like, you know, whatever. Like he's always talking about like finding stuff or people talking to him about it, whatever. And I think he said that once. He's like, that is a good point. If you set that many giant ass gorillas loose, you'd never see him again. So it's like, who knows what's going on.
Yeah, you'd never
there.
See them again.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. So think about, oh, then now that thought.
I like how he just states that as a fact. Like, you'd never see the gorillas again. Really?
I don't even know if he was saying it as fact, but he was just kind of entertaining.
You know,
I don't know what the context was.
You know, we have Bigfoots here in San Diego. You ever heard about them?
I have heard about them.
Wait, Bigfoots or Big Feet?
No. Like Sasquatches.
Sasquatch.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a between local Mexico. Legend called the Proctor Valley Monster.
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard about
it. Everybody, Kevin's podcast. Heard about it. Garrett's heard about it. Yeah. And supposedly, if you listen to the Spooked podcast, they interview some Border Patrol agents here in San Diego. Yeah. And they say out there in the desert in the border between San Diego, there's California, and Mexico, they have heat-seeking cameras that pick up 10-foot-tall bipedal monsters that apparently eat cougars and hunt the anybody traveling through there. I was going to say hunt the migrants coming through.
I was worried about chupacabras, but I really got to worry about the Proctor Valley monster.
Yeah, watch out. Yeah,
we got local Bigfoots down here.
Local Bigfoots waiting for you to call them,
and you can smell them coming because they stink so bad.
Yep,
that's what they say.
Big stink.
What's your favorite local legend or ghost story or urban legend here from San Diego? Do you have one?
That one tree. No.
Where
you
we
know
went
what?
And filmed?
Yeah. You know what? I take it back. When we were filming in the old ass building that David Jaffe's office was in.
Oh, well, we experienced a haunting there.
Yeah. So that's my favorite because I felt it. Don't go in this room. And I'm recording on my iPhone, and I cross the threshold, and my phone bricks. Yep, all right, this one's true. Goodbye. Yep, so that's good enough for me.
Don't go in this room, and then Kevin runs into the room.
Kevin, that asshole.
Kevin's like, shut the door behind me. You know, leave, turn all the lights off.
Kevin's pissing me off this week.
I've definitely had
a lot of weird things.
I've had a lot of fun just visiting the Whaley House where we filmed our Luigi's Mansion sketch.
Oh, yeah.
I went on tours inside that a lot, like in high school. And then at night, I've hung out in the little graveyard area next door.
You know, there's a Whaley House horror movie?
Yes.
Really?
What? Yeah.
And they didn't shoot it there.
They didn't shoot it there, and they get it so fucking wrong,
well,
it'll
terrible.
Piss you off.
Yeah, because we know the lore, you know? That's our backyard haunting.
It is like a bullshit, low-budget movie.
I'll check that out, though.
About the Whaley House. I heard a local legend once about how supposedly in Anza Borrego Desert here east of San Diego, there is supposedly lost... What? Yeah, there's lost mines. There's supposedly lost gold mines and lost emerald mines that the Native Americans around here used to know of, but had the location has since been lost. And apparently in the 1800s, some prospectors went out there looking for it and said that they found the ghost of a let me back up, and I don't want to waste too many people's time, but there's a story that an old man found the mine once, and he would bring, like, jewels and gold into town, and they'd be like, where are you getting this from? He'd be like, I have my own private mine out there. And everybody wanted to get the location from him, but he never told anybody about it. He took the secret to his grave. Later on, after he died, some prospectors went looking for the mine, and they said they saw the ghost of that guy as a rambling skeleton that just skittled through the desert endlessly. And they said they tracked this thing for miles and miles and miles before they, like, lost sight of it. And there was a legend going on for years that somewhere out there is just this skeleton rambling through the desert, haunting the trail to this forgotten mine out there.
Can I just say, you know, that is a creepy image, just that whole thing. But something similar to that used to always creep me out and is 10 times creepier now.
I know where you're going.
Yeah.
MJ.
That Michael Jackson wanted to build a robot of himself out in the desert that would, around the clock, just even through the night,
shamble.
Dance. And so you could see a big one that you could see it from the plane. You would see the robot moonwalking and stuff. He really wanted that out in the Vegas desert. And it was already creepy, like that thing just silently moving in the night. Well, I think the scariness just amplified several times over.
It's like Jet Alone. It's just out there walking.
Yeah, it's definitely Jet Alone. Yeah. Dead alone. Dead man.
Good night.
Dead man walking.
Good night. Yeah.
Dead man dancing. No, we got to give it a cooler ending. Yeah. Cooler ending than that.
Yeah. Oh, that was on you. That wasn't cool enough, Sean.
Back on me. Back on me. Back on me.
Wait, is there anything?
Shut the fuck up.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead. Fine. Go
Wait,
ahead.
Does Mariel have any yeah. last stuff you want? Mariel, any yeah. last words or stuff you want to plug any or anything? Now you're working. Wait, hold on. You're working on Mariel. In case you don't know, Mariel works. We can say
it's
what
like
you're
robot Michael
what you
Jackson
work on
with a kid.
Yeah, I have a video game coming out. I cannot say when.
Can you say what?
Indivisible.
Okay.
Yeah. Indivisible.
Yeah. Woo! Fuck yeah.
Oh, you took Under God out of the title. Wow.
Anything you want? Is there anything you can say about it?
Title in retrospect. It's awful. It's not a good one.
All right.
You can't,
I'll cut this out.
All right, Mariel's bosses, don't listen to this part.
I'll cut that out.
La, 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 la. Fingers in the ears.
I mean, yeah. We came up with it before politics happened. So. Mm.
No, I like it. It's hopeful.
Put like,
I like
Legends
it.
At the title or Forsaken or give it
yeah.
like a...
Yeah, Origins. Yeah. Just call it Origins.
Indivisible Origins. Yeah. That's cool.
But anyway, anything else you want to say about that or promote or anything?
No.
We're working on it.
Can you say goodnight?
All right.
Goodnight.
And follow her on Twitter. Can you cakes on Twitter. There you go.
There you go.
All right. Now we can end it. I'm going to end it. Hold on. Just let's end it. I'm going to end it on a good. Hold on.
Yeah. Do something crazy.
Don't end it until tears come out.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean, it's going to take as long as it takes.
I'm ready. Mario, what's your favorite kind of pizza topping?
Salami?
Salami.
Can you put salami on it?
Dude, I think I had a pizza.
Wait, that's it's your favorite.
You can. Question. Yes,
it's
not your favorite.
Pizza and I got a pizza with salami.
Yes, you can.
On.
I've had that a million times.
Yeah. But if you ask the question, you should know the answer.
Yeah. What was the last
Rocco,
one?
Rocco, they just canceled Power Rangers.
They already did that once. I didn't give a fuck. I like the first six seasons, okay?
I was just trying to give you
they
some.
They deleted the first six seasons by accident.
Okay, okay, no, that's not.
They're
that's
gone.
That's fucked up.
There's no way you can watch those.
Sometimes I think about how, for many years, the only master of the Godfather movies was on tape.
Ew.
Until the Coppola restoration in the early 2000s.
From all that wine money.